Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on the family of God. The family of God. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So God chose us before he even formed this world to be his sons and daughters, right? He chose each and every one of us. It was his doing. And it says in verse 5, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption or the sonship of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of" what? His will. His will. It was according to the pleasure of his good will. That means it pleased God to call you to be his kid. He wanted you to be his kid, which means that he wanted you to be in this family of God, right? In verse 6, it says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." Right? It was God who made us accepted. You know, there's a lot of people out there today that are yearning to be accepted, that are yearning to belong to anything at all. I mean, pick something, and they just will do it just to belong. But we belong to the family of God, and there's no better thing to belong to. In chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Now," which means right now, "therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God," right? So we're no longer strangers to God. We're no longer foreign to God. You know, there's no more distance between us and God. We belong to the household of God, right? We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that makes each and every one of us part of the same spiritual family. We all come from different earthly families, but we're all part of the same spiritual family. And that was God's will. That's what he wanted. That's what brought him pleasure to do. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I think if you take some time to really just marinate on that idea for a little bit, that God wanted you to be a part of his family, right? And how incredible that is. That the creator of the heavens and the earth wanted you to be a part of his family. And in 1 John 3:1 it says, "Behold," or pay attention, look at this, "what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Right? Look, just consider the great love that God has for us, for him to want us to be his kids. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Right? We're not going to find that in the world. We're not going to find that love in the world. Right? That love comes from God. The world's not going to get us. The world's not going to understand us, because it doesn't know God. It's always going to think we are different or weird or wacko. Right? But we're God's kids. We're as good as it gets. In verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." Right now, we're sons of God. But in the future, right? When Christ comes back, there's even bigger things in store for us. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So as incredible as it is to be a son or daughter of God right now, even better stuff to come. That's how big God loved us. Go to Romans chapter 8. It's important that we don't lose sight of who we are and to what family we really belong to. Right? The world's going to try to get you to belong to anything else but the family of God. It's going to offer you memberships to clubs and to groups and to all kinds of stuff. And those aren't necessarily bad, but it should always be second fiddle to being a son of God. Romans 8, verse 15. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." That's not the kind of spirit we received. Not a one of bondage. "But you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Which is like Daddy, Daddy. That's the spirit that we receive. The spirit that makes us part of this family of God. "The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with who? Christ. Because he's our big brother. Right? He was the only begotten Son of God. But we are all children of God. And so we're joint heirs with Christ. "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Right? We're heirs of God. And we'll be raised like Jesus Christ was. Right? He's the first fruits. But there's a day coming when he returns that we're going to be raised up like him. And we too get to spend eternity with God. That's part of our inheritance. Right? When you're in a part of an earthly family, you get the inheritance from your parents. Right? Well, we're heirs of God. Right? We have an inheritance coming to us too. And that's eternity with the Father. In verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to whose purpose?" His. Right? All things work together for good. And we love God. And we're called according to his purpose. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Right? The firstborn among many brethren. This big family that we're a part of, Jesus Christ is the firstborn. He's the big brother. And the rest of us get to be in that family. And we're not going to look at all of it tonight, but if you keep going, verse 30 to 39, it just talks about all the many benefits that we have as being God's kids, right? That we're sanctified, that we're justified, that we're set apart, that, you know, there's nothing that God won't do for us. You know, the greatness of the love and that, how nothing's going to separate us, that we're more than conquerors. Like, this is who we are in Christ, and this is what we have available as God's kids. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Like, if you were the son or daughter of a very powerful person or a very wealthy individual, there'd be certain benefits that come with that. There'd be access to certain places or things, certain privileges, right? That's the same with our Heavenly Father, right? We have all these many benefits because we're sons of God. Because of the Holy Spirit that he's given to us. In Galatians 3, verse 24, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster," and the words in italics are not in the text, to bring us, so the law was our schoolmaster unto or until Christ. So prior to Christ, you know, it was the law. That was what was available. Before that, and then when Christ came, that we might be justified by what? Faith. Right? After Christ came, now it's by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We're no longer under that law. For you are all the children of God by faith or believing in Christ Jesus. Right? When we believe Romans 10, 9, and 10, when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, right, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we became a part of this family. It wasn't anything that we had to do or earn. There was no law that we had to follow. Right? It was just that simple. We are all children of God by believing in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And that's how God sees it. He doesn't see categories, right? He doesn't see bond or free, male or female, Jew or Greek. You know, he sees us as one, as his kids, all on equal footing. And that's why we refer to this family as the one body, right? Which we'll see here in more detail. Go to Romans chapter 12. We are all one in God's eyes. He is not a respecter of persons. He does not look at one individual and say, well, that person's my favorite. And thank God for that. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech, I lovingly beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so those first two verses, God's asking us to present ourselves as living sacrifices to him, right? Which is our reasonable service, meaning it's the logical thing that we should do based on all that he's done for us, right? Based on the fact that we're his kids and that he's given us all these things to freely enjoy. And then when we renew our minds to that word, we're able to do incredible things according to God's word. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Right? And that phrase can better be translated, distributed the foundation of believing to each of you. Right? He's distributed the foundation of believing to all of us. He hasn't given anybody any more or any less. Right? So he's saying, don't start to think you're any but better than anybody else. That's not how I look at you. Right? I've given to every man the same. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, when you think of your physical body, you have a lot of body parts. That's what it's saying. You have a lot of body parts in your one body. And all those body parts, those members, have not the same office or function, right? All my body parts don't do the same thing. My hands do very different things from my nose, and my knees do very different things from my elbows. Well, maybe not very different, but different areas, right? My hair does a lot different things than my ears. They're all different. So we, verse 5, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So God's likening it to a physical body, that each of us has a specific function in this body of Christ. In verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith or believing, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, if you're really good at encouraging people, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so this just rattles off some quick examples. It's certainly not an exhaustive list of areas that we can really contribute and be of service to each other in the one body. But we are a family, And every one of us has a different spiritual place in the body. And that's really important to think about. There are physical talents that we have. There are things that we are good at physically, but that's not our place in the body, right? Our place in the body is always a spiritual one, right? Our contribution to the body of Christ is a spiritual one. And that's what God encourages us to do, is to find that place and exercise it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, exercising that spiritual place in the body will often take physical skills and adeptness. And they do, a lot of times, go hand in hand. But your place in the body isn't the guy who sets up chairs, right? That's not your place in the body. It's a really good way to serve and to give. But it's not your place in the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. Right? And again, this is of the physical body. Your body is not just one body part. If the foot shall say, well, I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, does that make it not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Like if your foot was to say, well, I can't really, you know, pick up things quite as well with that hand because he's got an opposable thumb. I don't really need to be a part of the body anymore. Does that make your foot fall off? No. Right? Your foot's still your foot. It's still necessary. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Right? So your ear has a function and your eye has a function. But both are necessary in your whole body. If the whole body were an eye, so he's now kind of presenting this, you know, really ridiculous example, but if your whole body, if you were just one big eyeball, where were your hearing? How would you hear anything if you were just one big eyeball? If the whole were an ear, where were the smelling? How would you smell anything if you're just one big ear? Right? It wouldn't work. Your body would be very incapable of much if it was just one big ear or just one big eye. But now, verse 18, has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him? Again, this is referring to your physical body. God designed your physical body in a very specific way. He put all the body parts where they belong so that your body would function. He put a heart in there so that it would pump the blood. He put a brain in there so you could think. He put your eyeballs so you could see. Right? God was the one who designed all of that. And if they were all one member, they were all the same body part, how would you have a body? But now are they many members? Now they are many members. There's many different body parts, but it's still just one body. Right? There are a lot of body parts, but now he's driving home the point that you're still one body. Justin is made up of many different body parts, but it's still just Justin, right? It's one body. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor of the hand to the feet, I have no need of you, right? My body parts don't reject my other body parts and say, well, I'm better than you, I don't need you anymore. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And all of this is an illustration to the body of Christ. God is using a physical body to make an analogy to the body of Christ, right? If Justin says, well, I don't need Christopher anymore because I can do all those things myself, right? That makes the body weaker, right? We can't just say, well, I don't have any need of him. God put us in this body where we belong and where he wanted us to be, right? He put us where he designed us, where he called us to be. And it says in verse 23, and those members of the body that we think, right? It says that we think. That's not how God thinks. So if there's ever any thinking that somebody doesn't belong in the body or that we could do without that person, that's coming from a human point of view. That's coming from a five senses point of view. Right? That's not how God thinks. Verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together. And to temper something means to kind of fuse it together, to make it stronger than it was before, right? That's what it is to temper something. You have tempered glass, right? Or you can think of like a well that's tempering something together. God has tempered the body, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And the reason he did it? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. That's the way that God designed the body of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Right? So that's where he drives home the analogy that all this body part talk, it's the same with the body of Christ. We're all members in particular. We all have a different function. We all have things that we can contribute. But God did the placing how he wanted it. And if there's any thinking that somebody doesn't belong or isn't part of the body or isn't contributing, that thinking is on us. Right? It's God who designed it. It's God who gave us, who tempered us together. And each of us really matters, right? Each of us has a purpose and a place. And that's what God's trying to communicate here. Now you are the body of Christ. All of you together are the family of God. But each one of you is a specific and necessary member in particular. Go to Galatians chapter 6. And so, you know, God wants us to figure out where our place in this great body is. Galatians 6, verse 7. This family of God is at its strongest when we're all united together, when we're all exercising our place in the body, right? And doing the things that God's called us to do. That's when we're at our best. That's when there is no schism and no division, right? All the stuff that causes division is stuff from the adversary. He's the one who wants to break it apart. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we don't give up. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us find that place in the body. Let us carry it out to our best ability. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Right? God called us to be a part of this family. It was his doing. And he did it in a way that pleased him. So your place is really important and really special. And it was God's great love that called you to be a part of that. And here he is imploring us to be especially good to each other. Right? This family is messy sometimes. But it's the divisions, it's the things that separate us that give the adversary footholds. So God wants us to be especially good unto the household of faith. He wants us to take care of each other like we would take care of our own bodies, and to love each other, and to make full proof of wherever our place is in this body of Christ. So I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.